All right, we shall move forward. Take your document that we passed out to you, eternally confirmed election. We're going to continue to talk about election, but not the one we just came through in the political. We're talking about a Biden election, confirmed election, dependable election, enjoyable election, election that will not disappoint you. Also, take your Bibles. Elder Nicholson is our designated reader this morning. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 1, verse 4. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 4. Amen. Last week we had those of you here, we had gone into the first chapter of Ephesians. We won't go there this morning. Time would not allow. As we look at the essence of the benefits of election. Here, when we speak of election, we are not speaking of it. First of all, we're not speaking of it in the realm of time. Then we're not speaking of it in terms of man's choice, of men making choice, of men determining things and deciding things. That is strictly an illusion. I say again, that is strictly an illusion. Even the election that we have just come out of, determination was not made by the fact that 65 million people outvoted 40 some million people. Amen. These are processes in manifestation, but God does all the choosing of all things that occur. We must understand that. If you do not understand that, then you are a candidate for the roller coaster ride in life. Amen. Now, in that first chapter of Ephesians, don't go there, we don't have time, as I've said. Last week, we read in verse 3 how Paul was giving God such great accolades for having blessed us in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus,
yes,
with all spiritual blessings.
Right.
Here, the realm of what he is focusing on is above the heaven, above the heavenlies, or that in the heavenlies, amen, in the essence of being in Christ.
Right.
Everything is in Christ.
Right.
But above the earth, above the galaxy that we live in, which is the Milky Way, above the universe, above all of physicality of what God has created in the physical realm, there's the essence of God who is spiritual.
Yes.
And everything that is in the realm of physicality is strictly that which has been materialized for the purpose of testimony, of manifesting the essence of God's eternal plan. So everything points toward eternality and eternity. For time, as it has been prophesied, will be no more. No more time, no more physicality. Amen. Everything that truly abides, abides in the spiritual realm of eternality. A thing that exists, actually exists in God's decree. And so when Paul is speaking here in chapter 1, he is into the realm of eternality and speaking of the essence of God decreeing the essence of your relationship with Him. And as I conveyed to the youth this morning in the Sunday school, as we were instructing them, according as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, it is in eternality where the real action is. God, your salvation abides in the eternal realm. You are saved. It is a beyond. So you don't have to worry about the nuclear bombs and whatever is going on. If this whole earth, if this whole world just decelerated, which it is eventually going to do anyway, you are safe. You are safe. Y'all don't hear me this morning. You are safe. You are secure because you're in Christ. This is what he was speaking about, these spiritual blessings. So here when Paul speaks of us having been chosen, he is speaking about an eternally confirmed election. Amen. A choice that God made that sets you, amen, in a most favorable location.
Yes.
That is in Christ.
Right. Oh, yes.
In Thessalonians chapter 1, know what we're going to do this morning?
Right.
Basically going to preach textual natural. We're going to focus on that one verse. That one verse of scripture that says volumes. That says volumes. We think that we always have to have something that is enlarged physically in order to give it a large quantitative assessment. Of course, when we take the example, as we do sometimes, the furnace. If you live in a much older house, you got the big furnace, and then when it finally goes out and you have to replace it, what replaces it is maybe one quarter of the size, but it is much more powerful. In other words, there's much more substance in it. It's going to throw out more BTUs. Huh? Amen. And so the small package of the grace covenant, those 14 epistles, quantitative wise, goes volumes beyond what's written in the rest of the scriptures. Oh my God. And in this verse, chapter 1, verse 4, there is of information, instructions that are in that one verse. Alright, so we're going to break it down, and here over this morning, hopefully when we finish this document, as when we talk about election and when you hear somebody speak of election, amen, your first thought would be your eternal election, amen, and then secondarily the political elections. This is what we hope to drive into our hearts and our spirits this morning. All right? Everybody has 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. Say amen.
Amen.
All right? Elder Reed. King James, yes.
Knowing 1 Thessalonians 1 and 4, King James Version. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God.
Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. As I say, what's so all consuming about that? Everything. Read that from the Greek.
Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing, brothers, having been brothers.
Oh my God! Now we cooking with gas. Now we talking. Read that again.
Knowing, brothers, having been loved by God. The choice of you.
Mm-hmm. The choice of you. Knowing the choice of you. Now last week as we talked about election, let's go back to the first page. Last paragraph at the bottom. Everybody got that? For those that may be listening on the internet, that document is there. If you're listening to this, you can just click it or download it as you follow what we are conveying here. The Grace Doctrine Scriptures. Everybody got that? Convey the enlightened comprehensions, as we said last week, of humankind's misperceptions, choosing, selecting, or electing. This illusion universally forms the ill-conceived doctrine of syllogism. What did we say syllogism is? That the consensus claiming or averring human participation and determination through the input of mankind's choices. In other words, we're helping God out, and what we're doing has more to do with the outcome of things as much as what God is doing. Amen. God determines some things and we determine some things. You know, that's what syllogism is. Now, three benefits sufficiently and broader, but more important, it's seriated, excapated comprehension of eternal election advantages. Everybody say eternal election.
Eternal election.
These are the advantages. Number one, when you understand that, it heightens the capacity for empathy and love and the desire to share. Number two, it brings into greater awareness this sense of truth, as well as an increasing awareness of what only masquerades as truth. So here we separate the truth from that to which is only an illusion. Number three, eternal election enhances motivation those holding greater enlightenment to embrace courses that are not self-seeking, but truly represent the welfare of the greater sphere of existence. This is why we keep focusing into the essence of eternality rather than physicality, and in eternity rather than time. Amen. Because this is where the abiding action resides. Now,
yes.
Other spiritual qualities, follow me here, of abiding characteristics and enlightened expressions in eternal election comprehension. Everybody say eternal election comprehension. They're brought forward by infusion of this greater light of behavior. And when you understand it, this is what induces the kindness, the gentleness, endurance and lack of ego, desire to share, as well as comfort in the circumstantial conditions of need. As we said last week, these qualities, like notes on a musical scale, they are basically played in many different ways with many different tonalities, corresponding where in the inner a spiritual nature of the one who eternally selected his beloved. So our focus is on him and what he is doing. Amen. And of course we respond, and as we respond according to the comprehension that he has given us. Now in addition, follow me here. Such identity and the foundation which lies in essential properties of spiritual light through illuminations of the eternal electorial processes. As this light becomes clear, and as we begin to comprehend more the essence of the overall picture rather than just on the horizontal plane that we're living on day by day, looking around at things, amen, as these things begin to manifest and become clear, as this light becomes more prominent, darkness recedes and the eternal influential effects of greater comprehension begin to dominate transcendent thoughts more clearly. Follow me here. As we, that is God's people, increasingly desire truth among representatives of the grace covenant claims, everybody say grace covenant claims.
Grace covenant claims.
This is what we must focus on. They solely rely on integrity within the particular issues or points of views residing in eternality. Now, someone has accused me of being stuck in eternity. I'm guilty. I'm very guilty. Amen. Because, amen, the true light and the true essence of existence and life abides, amen, uninterrupted and unchallenged in the eternal realm. Now, as we was reading the pastor's pen, your patronage is mostly in partisan secular ministry. In other words, our focus is on the thing that we think the people can resonate with the most. Our confidence in ministering the spiritual things lies in the fact that the grace covenant ministers to the spirit and not the flesh. Ministers to spirituality rather than secularity or physicality. Ministers to the thing that is unseen, because as Paul writes, we're not looking at the things that are being seen. We're looking at the things that are unseen. Some very reluctant to do that. And to talk about eternal election because they're afraid that somebody's going to get bored. And so we will speak of things that you can relate to, you can understand, even though these things are wasting away. Even though these things have no stickability and stability. An election that only lasts 4 years versus an election that abides forever. Which election are you going to prioritize and focus on this morning? Which one has more integrity? The one that only speaks of something in passing, the one that is established in the essence of God's decree. When we speak of such integrity, it is solely based on the faithfulness of God's decreed positions and dictations of every issue to an underlining which such positions represent. Now, contrariwise to the whims of humankind, pure integrity requires caring about things genuinely, not merely as a surface phenomenon for selfish accommodations. And that's what most of us look at things around us, on the basis of how it's going to affect me and how what's my well-being is going to be. Well, I mean, that's me too. That's just the way we're shaped. Amen. And, but and to the character of one who has an inner standard of moral rightness. A standard adhered for the sake of rightness itself, because moral consciousness requires it. In stark contrast to transparencies in the secular arenas, the increasing inflow of light into eternality, it trumps human electoral processes depending on the character, because human electoral processes depend upon the character and goodwill affectations of candidates in the general public. That's the difference between the two elections. Follow me this morning. We're talking about election. We're talking about secular election. And we're juxtaposing them, or we're comparing them with eternal election. Now I know that many are reluctant to teach the eternal, unseen, spiritual, everlasting. Because they're worried about being boring. And this is why Paul's epistles are not dealt with. You know that verse that we just read? Let's look at Thessalonians again. It starts out with the verb participle, and I'm going to do some exegeting here, which means that we take the original document, manuscript, writing, from which these translations, whatever translation you may be reading, they come from something, and they come from these documents. And I would imagine that many, including Peter, as they looked at Paul's writings and they listened to his ministry, amen, they said, what in the world is he talking about? Peter said, Brother Paul speaketh about things that's hard to understand. And because of this, the ministry is intimidated. I'm not speaking about the things that our physical eyes cannot gaze upon, nor our human intellect comprehend. But our contract, the grace covenant, is not about the things so much around you, but the things that above you. Listen to me this morning. Here we have a participle. Ephthotes. It is in the perfect tense. What is the perfect tense? Completed action with what? With ongoing occurrent results. So what he is saying here, because the word is translated no. So here he is speaking about having known and knowing. Having knowing and knowing. Knowing starts out with having knowing. Having known. Here he is speaking of the fact, because what is addressed here, let me read the actual phrase. Here it is epote of the fee, epimene. It is said direct address. So here, Paul is directly addressing the brethren. These are letters. These are instructions. These are directives. They're addressed to the brethren. They're addressed to you. So when Paul is talking about knowing, he's not talking about what the world is capable of knowing. He is talking about what you have been preassigned to. As the Lake of God, He has blessed you to know these instructions that are in your contract. Because how can you appreciate the benefits if you don't know what these benefits are? We have been taught in churches for years the blessings of God are to be viewed in relationship to how well we're faring
right
now.
Right.
In the earth.
Right.
In my residence.
Yeah, yeah.
In my job. In my community.
Yeah.
In the world.
Yes,
if things are going good, I'm blessed. If things are being challenged, well, I don't know. And if we perceive to be going bad, then it's, oh boy, it is really bad. And these are the things that control our countenance. I think about reading history of God's people who were slaughtered. In the arenas of the Colosseum in the first century. The Romans made sport of them. They put them in there and they turned the wild beasts upon them. In fact, what they would do is, I understand, they would not feed the wild beast for a while. Make sure he was very, very hungry. And they would turn him loose. And how God's people were called to stand in that hour and give God the praise as they were being slaughtered. That is an enablement of God pulling back the curtains and giving them the understanding and the comprehension of listening. What is going on around you in the horizontal plane, amen, while it may be impactful for the moment, it is not abiding.
Come on here. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank God. Yes. Amen.
And as we stand day by day and we look at all of the things that are going on around us, the vicissitudes of life, the challenges of life, the disappointments of life, we must know that these are not the thing that sets the course and the character, oh my God, of our countenance. Amen. Our joy, our peace, our happiness do not depend upon the things that are around us, but on that which transcends those things.
Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah.
If you don't understand that, you're not going to be a happy camper. In fact, you're going to be miserable. Many of God's people this morning, we're miserable because we're looking at the things around us. Amen. And as institutions fall, and the things that we have depended upon fall, so will our faith, if that's what our faith is in. If the thing that your faith is in falls, then your faith will fall with it. As they fail, your faith will fail. As they dissipate, so will your joy. As they are interrupted, so will your peace be interrupted. So when he is talking here, he says, knowing, brethren, having known. So here, to deal with that which falls into that category, you must go above the things around you of that which existed beforehand. Now, when we understand the essence of our salvation, we understand what being saved means. It means more than, you know, you came down the aisle and you shook somebody's hand. And you, in fact, it doesn't mean that at all. Actually, being saved means being safe.
Come on. And
many of God's people, they tell you, rather say, I'm saved, but they don't feel safe. Saved being safe. And if you don't feel safe, then you can't really say you're saved. It means secured. That means free from being in jeopardy. If you feel threatened, then you're not saved. Now, understand what I'm saying now. You're saved from the fact that you are elected. But comprehension-wise, you're not saved because you don't feel saved. Salvation transcends the things that are around us. You know what Paul said? He said, I'm persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God. That's in Christ Jesus. That's the ultimate of what he was concerned about. Anything else come? Hey. It's part of the process of testimony. But it does not affect my salvation. Your salvation is in Christ. So when he said having known, he's speaking of the essence of you having been elected. An eternal election in heaven where he placed you in the body of Christ. You were placed in the body of Christ in eternity. Where you are safe. You have never been in jeopardy.
Never. Thank God. Never. Amen. Yes, Lord.
That's where it starts. And once you get that lesson, and then you know that nothing can separate you from where you were, then what follows is the knowing because of what I have known. What are you talking about, Paul? He said, for nothing shall separate me from the love of God. And then he goes on, he begins to speak about the trials and tribulations. He goes through a litany of things. Now that's the knowing part based upon what you have known. And so as we look at all of these things that are around us, it's going to be a sad day when these things fall. And God's people have been looking at them, are prioritizing them, and depending upon them. Not even at the expense of being viewed as boring. And somebody say you're way out there talking about things that people can understand. If that's what's in our contract, I'm obligated. The ministry is obligated to preach and teach these things. If it's not, let's rip these 14 epistles right out of the and go over here and start talking about the children wanting to the land and going to the Red Sea on dry ground and coming out on the other side. And these things were glorious, but as Paul writes, the things that are associated with Moses were glorious, but this is more glorious. And ministering today is a complete failure. That piece that we wrote on patronage, secular, Protestant ministering, that's what's happening today. Our focus is on the here and now and what's going on. And these things are crumbling around us. That's not what Paul is talking about here when he says knowing, having known and knowing. Even if we are like a voice in the wilderness crying out, we will speak and we will prioritize the unseen over the seen.
Amen.
So what are you talking about, Paul? Having known. Having known what? Hear that word, beloved. That is a participle. That's a verb. That's not an adjective. That's a verb. It's a verb participle. You got pay money. It is a verb. It is a participle. What is a participle? Is a verbal what? Adjective. It's still describing, but it's action too. And it is in the perfect tense. It's in the perfect tense. Again, the perfect tense is what? Completed action, what? Ongoing results. You are loved because you were loved. How long have you been loved? From eternity. Now why is that important? That is important because if you know you were loved, then you will never have any doubt about the fact that you are loved. Because you are loved because you were loved. God loved us from the beginning, regardless of what's going on. If you lose your job, God loved you. And it has, and that job situation is not the genuine gauge of God's love. You have a business and you go out of business. That business was never the gauge of God's love. Somebody has annexed their business to God's love. So go my business, so go God's love. Someone has annexed their possessions to God's love. They have annexed their profession to God's love. And so goes these things. So go these things. So goes God's love. My friend, your salvation occurred and was set and established before creation. Your job, your career, your profession, all of these things are what? These are temporary entities in time that will disappear with time.
That's it. Amen.
You're going to give that business up one day anyway.
Glory to God.
Oh, yes, you are. You're going to turn it loose. Whatever you got out there, you're going to turn it loose. But oh, he will never turn you loose. He has placed you in the essence. So what is he saying? Having known and knowing, brethren, having been and being beloved. Man, I'm cashing out here trying to pay these bills. Say your election. Well, we put our person in office this time. And Paul said, that's not the election I'm talking about. It's sad that you walk up to the average Christian, average child of God, and you say election, their mind immediately goes to political election, to politics.
That's it.
I was watching the euphoria that was being displayed a few weeks ago when Obama was elected. In the minds, and I said, if we could somehow just grasp just a glimpse of the benefits that you have as a result of your eternal election, you're talking about dancing in the streets. Can't see that because our eyes are full of physicalities. We're moved by physicality. We're influenced by physicality. Now, understanding that these things are only intricacies of manifestation for the sake of testimony. What is materialized is temporary. What is before you is temporary. So he said, your election of God. Back to the document. Integrity is, page 2, is solely based on the faithfulness of God's decreed positions and dictations of every issue to the underlining which such positions represent. Contrariwise to the whims of humankind, pure integrity requires caring about things genuinely, not merely as a surface phenomenon for selfish accommodations. It also applies to the character of the one who has an inner standard, a moral consciousness, a moral righteousness, a standard adhered to for the sake of rightness itself, because moral consciousness requires it. Now, in stark contrast to transparencies and secular arenas, increasing inflow of light into eternality, it trumps human electoral processes dependent upon the character and goodwill affectation, as we've said, of candidates and the general publics. God's, listen to this, God's people internalization. This is what we're trying to do. Oh my God, God help us to internalize. Our internalization of more truths induces more kindness and integrity. as our prioritized interest, our focus, away from deviances of everywhere to the heavenlies, which truly represent the interests of entirety. As this enlightenment develops, the quality of spiritual hearing is also enhanced versus what is listened for in human candidates. They're promising you things, and you're believing them. Not so much that they don't believe it, but they like the power to deliver upon what they are promised. And many, even God people, have become disillusioned because they were looking at something and expecting something that had been promised. Listen. The only thing that you can really promise, believe in as a promise, is what God has promised you. I may promise you something, and I may have good intents, but I don't have the power to do it, to deliver. How many of us have said we're going to do something, and then we didn't do it? It's not that we didn't mean to do it. It's just we didn't have the power to do it. Now, what the great scriptures, give me 10 minutes and I'm going to just bail out. What the great scriptures convey to the informed is more authentic than what the common mind construes. So if we want to know what's going on, I don't pick up a newspaper, not that I don't read the newspaper, but that's not where I depend upon for my information. You know what I pick up? My contract. Because sometimes what's on the news is running counter and contradictory to my contract.
Right.
But what is I going to believe? I'm going to believe what I see. Or am I going to believe my contract? Follow. Eternal actuality. Everybody say eternal actuality. Eternal actuality apprehends the essence of truth rather than the secular perceptions of humanly gut reactions. I tremble when I hear somebody say, well, how did you know this? It was just a gut reaction. How many times we've had gut reactions and they were completely, absolutely wrong? Chiefly such gut reactions a simple way of humans saying that there is no rational reason to feel something except it is one's heart that tells one that something is so. Oh, no, you don't. No, you don't. Human imagination is the lioness nation in the world.
Amen. Amen.
No, you don't. Inspiration that is scripturally foundational is effectuated of greater spiritual light. The dissimilarity between spiritual versus secular inspiration resounds in what light confers situations in causing uplifted outlooks. In other words, what light is more capable of instilling stronger consciousness and desires to trust in God's purpose? What light causes you to trust in God's purpose? I didn't say human purpose. And that's the problem. Here's the problem. We have agendas. Or we think we have agendas. When all we have is imagined itineraries. There's only one agenda. Who has the agenda? God. We said something went wrong, we're saying that it didn't go according to my imagined itinerary.
Right. Come on.
Yes. Amen.
Bring it up.
Amen. Yes.
And when it doesn't go according to my imagined itinerary, sometimes I turn to God and I say, what happened? God said, what you mean? Things are going exactly like I planned. I said, well, did you plan for me to lose my job?
Yes.
Lord, I said, you lost it, didn't you?
Hallelujah.
Well, Lord, why did I lose my job? Because I decreed it.
Right.
And see, what we don't understand is the essence of life is not about a job. In fact, it's not about what we're doing. It's about what He has done.
Oh,
I'm going to finish this paragraph and I'm going to bail out the day. And I guess you all read. They say, well, Pastor, you, this stuff is so... No. Listen. Read. This things around you are going to... They're going to wipe you out if you don't understand this. If you... My God, if God doesn't bless you to the end where you are lifted above the things around you, they're going to sweep you away. Things are going to get worse as far as the things that are on you. Not on a ministry, they don't dare say that because they're worried about losing people. Because we don't want to know about adverse things and bad things and so forth and so on. If you understand your contract, you know that everything ends up in the in the euphoria of forever abiding in blissfulness. And what you're going through now, these are just incidents on your way to your glorified, everlasting, abiding position manifested in the essence of Christ. Our problem is, our itineraries is that we want it now and here. But I'm telling you, if that's not God's agenda, it doesn't happen. It won't happen. It can't happen. And thank God it's not happening. Because we want what? We want the thing that He wants. What is faith? What is really faith? What is faith? It's faith. Faith is trusting in God. I asked Him for something and I believe Him to do it. That's not what faith is. Just from the selfish end of human thinking, I want what I want, and I don't want anything but what I want, and I want it now.
Right.
So why wouldn't I trust God for it? Because I want it. I'd do anything for what I want. That's not faith. True faith is trusting God to do His will and to have His way and for His purpose to manifest. Even if it runs counter to your purpose.
Right.
Lord, your will. We must learn to pray that way and think that way and act that way. And so when the stock market falls, we don't have a bad day.
Right.
If the big three closed and they said they wouldn't, they decide for some reason we're not going to give you any money and they all fall. You say, wow, man, we're done. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. Your sustenance is not based on anything that's outside of God. No. Finish this up. So what light is more capable of instilling stronger consciousness and desires to trust in God's purpose? Superficially, secular perception sources of inspiration are attributable to particular times and circumstances. Listen, look at this. Underline it. Superficially, secular perception sources of inspiration are attributable to particular times and circumstances. I'm inspired if things are going according to my itinerary. And I'm for long if they're not. Even though these factors factors of inspiration may influence perceptions of capacitating, yet such are not abidingly functional of scripture light, operating within spiritual consciousness. Ideas which create yearnings are not so much for what is within such as approachable or obtainable. Contrariwise, eternal aspirations, and I end here. Everybody say eternal aspirations.
Eternal aspirations
equate actions in hopefulness and optimism about realizations of what is truly about. Listen. This year was an election year. His campaign was filled with various shades of lights and darkness. And as I wrote this, it hadn't come, but here's what was saying. It is likely to continue up until its decreed manifestation in November, but not beyond. What are we seeing? We're in an economy. And everybody's looking, not everybody, let me say, too many of God's people. I'm not talking about the world now. Many of them are looking at Obama as the Messiah, as the Savior. So he's going to pull us out of recession, a depression. Isn't that crazy? Is that crazy? And that's why we don't fool around with politics in here. Oh, no. If we are deliberate, who is the deliverer? Who is our God? Jesus. Jesus is not God. I'm going to get in that this morning. Jesus. Our focus, our aim, what we preach to you, the one we're focusing on, has been, is, and will be Jesus. The things that are around us that are crumbling, some of us are worried about our jobs, worried about our homes. I read somewhere that mental illness is skyrocketing. And of all the businesses that are failing, the tobacco and alcohol business is thriving. Not as in the world, but what we've attempted to address this morning is God's people, those whom Paul wrote to and said, knowing, or having known, and knowing, brethren. This is addressed to who the contract is with, the brethren. Stocks may fall. Institutions may crumble. Banks may fold. Corporations may bankrupt. Environmentally, the ozone may dissipate. The Arctic may melt. You better hear me this morning. Pestilences may rise. Diseases may flow. All of the things that we see around us may turn against us. may look like the end is near. That's the problem with looking at the things that are around you. That's the problem with depending upon the scene. Your hope this morning is in Jesus. Everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
He is your hope. Now we will continue as we move into the end of this year and next year. I'm not even worried about who thinks that this is boring. It doesn't matter to me. Because see, the things that have excited them is now terrifying them.
Amen. 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 Come on, Pastor.
The things that have brought them joy,
yes,
is now bringing them depression. But if you have focused on the correct thing, you will be able to sing in joy and peace. And this is why we'll continue to speak about this election, a choice that placed you in a secure place and look here where nothing can ever disturb it. God bless you this morning.